Heavenly Father, thank you, dear God, for the day that you've given us. Thank you, dear God, for Jesus and, Lord, your Holy Spirit that just empowers us to do the things, Lord, that would be absolutely impossible without you. I pray, dear God, that you would just help us, Lord, give us a real mind of attentiveness. I pray, Lord, that you would just work in our hearts as only you can, Lord, to build your team here, Lord, at First Baptist Church. And I ask that you would just help us, Lord, as we seek to build our families, build our community, and build the body of Christ here, Lord, to be an influence until Jesus comes. And we ask all these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, so we're going to begin this morning, and we're going to kind of move quickly. By the way, the handout that you guys have, it's about 34 pages. If you guys would look at that, we're going to kind of fill in some of the blanks and give you some facts about Scripture. And I want to start out today with a question. How many people, when you came to First Baptist Church, either a long time ago or just today, said, I'm not quite sure where I fit in? Anybody have that question? Like, where do I fit in the midst of all this? By the way, I'll throw this out, everybody look up. Sometimes you see church and you see like an amazing praise team. You know, you see programs that are going on. You say, they don't need me. Don't kid yourself. You know, a lot of times you'll go somewhere, you'll buy something, you'll go to a store, and the window dressing is incredible, but what goes on behind there still needs a lot of work. That's the church of Jesus Christ. I'm going to everybody look up for a second. You know what? God has called every single one of us to be a functioning part of the team. You know, Christian ministry is not about watching a couple people do all the work, but Christian ministry is a team. It's a team concept, and it really needs to work that way. So we're going to jump right on in this morning. What I want to talk about today is, and there's an acronym. If you forget everything else I say today, remember this. What is my shape? And we're going to discover our shape for ministry. It's called Class 301. It was written by Rick Warren. He's the author and the pastor of Saddleback Church, and he came up with this concept of being a purpose-driven body. And he wrote some of these materials that have just been a great help to many, many churches. We're talking about serving Christ, and we're moving from just being a member to being mature. Now we're moving to a place where everybody is a minister. Now, throw this out. A lot of times you'll come to church, they'll say, who's the minister? And then you guys say, oh, it's Pastor Gary, Pastor Ansu. But in reality, guess who the ministers are? It's every one of us, because God's uniquely equipped us to do that. So we're going to just kind of work our way through that this evening. We want to talk about strengthening our core, building up the body. By the way, if you caught the verse in the book of Ephesians chapter 4, the last verse, verse 16, said this, is that every part of the body is important to equip the body itself, that God has put everything here that we need to build his church here on earth. So we're going to try to dig into that. So I want you guys to start and just think about this just for a second. Here's the first point I want you to get a hold of, and you can jot it down. It's right there in your handout. It says, the principle undergirding this class. My ministry is determined by my shape, right? FBC ministry is determined by God's purposes and the makeup or shape of our congregation. And here's what we're talking about here real fast this morning. You know, we're not trying to sort of jam people into jobs that we have pre-thought about. We're trying to put people into areas where they are gifted and they can't do anything else but serve in that way. And that's kind of the purpose, right? So determined by God, by our makeup and our shape. We want to go down to the goals of the ministry discovery process, right? The Bible says this. It says that pastors in Ephesians chapter 4 are kind of like the administrators. We're the coaches of what goes on. But the whole body are the ministers. And we want to kind of jot that right into our notes. That's right there on page one of your notes. The people are the ministers. Everybody look up. We guys tell yourself that? I am a minister. I said, I didn't go to school. You know, I didn't do this. I didn't do that. But we all are the ministers. We're all part of the body of Christ. And Ephesians 4 talks about that. He says that our job, Pastor Ansu and I, our job is to equip you for the work of ministry. Everybody look up. I want to kind of break down a real idol that's true in our American Western culture. And here's that idol, is that the pastors do all the work of ministry. Everybody look up. If that were true, we would be dead. Right? For real, right? We can't keep up. It's too much. If our church had 10 people, maybe we could keep up. But we have a lot of people, and they have lots of needs and lots of challenges and lots of issues. It would be literally impossible to do that. So we're going to jump right on to the next thought. I guess I'm a little electric this morning. So here we go. Check it out. How do we determine what is my ministry? And here it goes. My ministry is determined by my what? My shape. Everybody say it with me. My shape. And some of you guys are thinking, what are we talking about shape? What does that mean, right? Is that my body shape? No, your shape. And we're going to break that down and talk about what that looks like. There's two results of discovering the ministry that you've been shaped for. See, I'm going to use the mic. Let me shut this off a minute. Kind of adjust this real fast here for a second. Oh, we're going to try that again. Here we go. Is that better? A little better? All right, there we go. So my ministry is determined by my shape. The results of me discovering what God has called me to do are two things. Everybody think about this. Everybody ever done a job and you, at the end of the job, you just felt so good about what you did? That's fulfillment. The second thing that's here is this. When you see, and it's by the way not there, when you see fruit in your ministry. In other words, your teaching influences people. Your words change lives. Your encouragement lifts people up. That's what we're talking about here. So our shape, if we're functioning in our shape, we're going to see a fulfillment, a satisfaction, and we're going to see fruitfulness. I want to go down to the next thing. Check this out, right? The goal of this process is that we all would discover our unique design, shape for ministry, and commit to use and to develop that God-given gifts and abilities in serving God and others through our church family. That's the goal. We're going to slide right along. Check this out. Another goal is that I will select and begin serving in the ministry of church that best expresses what God made me to do. So here's the deal, right? Church is not a spectator sport. Church is a participant sport. That makes sense? By the way, think about sports, right? There are, you know, you go to a basketball game, there's 20,000 people watching 10 people run up and down the court. Right? You go to a football game, and there's what? Maybe 70,000 people watching 22 people on the field. You go to a soccer game, it's about the same thing. When you come to church, it's a different thing. It's everybody is using their giftedness and their ability to build the body up. And our goal is that we would get to that place as a church today. By the way, I'm going to everybody look up for a sec. What do we say about activities in the community and church? We say, well, I might volunteer. The challenge of church is when we put our faith and our trust in Jesus Christ and he saves us, we're on the team. And it's not a volunteer thing. We're there. And God expects us to serve him. And that's what we want to think about. Well, what is ministry? What does that look like? Here's what ministry. The ministry comes from the word diakonos. And here's the idea of ministry. It means to serve. We serve God as we serve each other. Ministry is using whatever God has given me to serve him and the needs of others. Now, throw this out. God's given us ability. God's given us passion. God's given us a personality. God's given us experience. And God's given us these gifts. And God's given us resources to serve. Here's what the Bible continues on. It says we minister in three different ways, right? Here's the first way. We minister to the Lord. It comes from the book of Acts chapter 13 where it says Paul and the apostles, they were ministering to the Lord. They were fasting. They were praying. They were worshiping. One way we minister is to the Lord. And by the way, our praise team, don't they do that well? They lead us to the throne every single week, right? We minister to believers. A ministry often of encouragement, of teaching, of edification. We minister to believers. We also minister to non-believers. The Bible says in this passage, by the way, that we are what? Salt. We are light. So we minister to unbelievers too, as the body of Jesus Christ. We minister in three directions. Continuing on, you know, there's three kinds of needs that we can help. And by the way, everybody look up for a second. By no means is this me up here saying, you know, you guys aren't doing the job, you're not doing anything. This is saying, you know what? We have to build our team and know our purpose. Does that make sense? So there's three kinds of needs that are out there. And they're all challenging. Here's the first one. People have physical needs. How about it? They have some physical needs today. By the way, Pastor Ansu prayed. There's a number of us in the congregation that are hurting physically in various ways. They got some needs that God wants us and has equipped us to address. People have some emotional needs, don't they? By the way, everybody look up. I may have to say that more today, especially to the men, because they're full. But look up. People's emotional needs. Do you know anybody out there today? Raise your hand who's kind of down. You guys are lying. Do you know anybody who's down? I mean, seriously, right? You don't have to go real far to find somebody who's wrestling with the issues of life. Right? So there's emotional needs out there. We can help them, right? People's spiritual needs, right? There's a world out there that needs to know Jesus, and there's a world out there that is trying to follow Jesus in some ways. And we need to be there to kind of minister to those things. And God's equipped us to do that. God wants to use me, and by the way, me is us, to do what? Help the church grow. And again, if it was just up to me, and I praise God that God brought me a partner in Pastor Ansu, our church would be real small and real ineffective and not too good. But God brought all of you onto his team. Isn't that kind of exciting? Like, you guys fill in all the gaps. By the way, there's a lot of gaps. You guys fill those in, right? You guys complement. You guys are the ministers. You guys are the workers, right? God wants to use me to help the church grow. There's a priority to our ministry, by the way. I want you guys to all get this in your mind. It says, I've been created for ministry. Do you guys realize that? By the way, it says this. Anybody know? Come here and press this off. Quote for me Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. How's that go? For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Does anyone know Ephesians 2:10? This is the next verse, by the way. It says, but we are his workmanship, kind of like God's trophy of his grace, created in Christ Jesus, what? To do good works. So God created us to do ministry, to serve him by serving others. Not only that, God saved us for that ministry. He created us that way. He saved us for that ministry that we would bring others into the kingdom, that we would give all the hopeless people hope. That's what he saved us for. And then he called us into ministry. He says this, by the way, in the book of Galatians. He said these words. He says, do not use your freedom or your liberty to gratify your flesh. But he says, in love, serve a command one another. And I want to encourage us. That's what God wants us to do. Serve. He's called us to that function, right? That's the priority. You know, as we stop and we think it on, he's even gifted you for ministry. We're going to talk about that in a minute. He's actually given you specific spiritual gifts that will be helpful in ministry. And he's authorized us for ministry. You guys all know, remember the Great Commission? What's the Great Commission say? Who knows it? Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. What's that say? Right? And here's how Jesus started. He says, all authority has been given to me. And he says, I want you to do what? Go out and make disciples. So he's authorized your ministry. He says, I want you, not just the apostles, not just the pastors, not just the teachers. He says, I want you to go out and do ministry. And I thought, everybody look up for a second. Logically, think about that for a second. Could Pastor Ansu and I, could we go everywhere that you guys go to minister to people? I mean, some places, by the way, I don't have a badge. They don't let me in, right? I can't be in all those places like you are. That's why God built the body, and he sent us out and kind of sprinkled us all over the place to serve him. You know, and I'll throw this out. Haven't y'all discovered this sometimes? You're working along, and all of a sudden you find another Christian. You go, oh, there's another believer here. And first you're like, praise God, I thought I was alone. But he's kind of sprinkled us all over to do this work of ministry, and that's what God's looking for here. That's sort of FBC strategy, because it's God's strategy. And then I already mentioned this, but I'm commanded to be a minister, to be a servant. So we want to keep on going today. How about this number seven? I'm equipped. I'm to be equipped for ministry. In other words, when we come to church, when we learn God's word, when we really understand what it means and how it applies to all the different situations in life, God is equipping me to pass that on. You know, that's the important thing. God wants us to pass on. He's equipped us. Everybody look up. The body of Christ, what? Needs my ministry. So I'm going to throw this out. If you're not here, you know, when you're supposed to minister, man, we're going to be lacking that time. You know, I throw this out. Think about VBS. We have all these kids come. It's a whole week-long thing, and it's literally from food to fun to fellowship to games to crafts to clean up the mess when we're finished and set it all up before we start. Think about all that stuff that goes into that, right? The body of Christ needs my ministry. So important. And I am accountable for my ministry. Everybody look, I want to scare you a little bit. Actually, God does. God expects you to serve him, and if you're not, we're kind of on the hook for that. You know, God wants us to understand that we're accountable to him for that. It would be a sin not to use the gifts and abilities that God has given each one of us. So we need to be doing that, right? We're accountable. So lastly, God's going to reward you for your ministry. Not just on earth by those good, fulfilling feelings, but God's going to reward you when it comes to heaven with those crowns. He's going to reward us for ministry. And I want to just slide along here quickly this afternoon. How do I get this thing rolling? Write down this reference. It's in your text, by the way, there in your handout. You'll see it right there. And if you guys were trying to figure out, well, where are we right now? We've covered a lot of ground. Where are we at? Here's where we are. We're on page seven, right? And the Apostle Paul, and I want you guys to look at this, think about this passage that we're looking at here. Paul's talking about Romans 12, 1 to 8. Remember, he says, I beseech you, I beg you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to offer yourself, your body, as a living sacrifice, holy and set apart to God. So how do we get this thing off the ground? How do we get on the team? Dedicate your body to minister. Say, you know what, God, I'm going to do it. I'm going to get up tomorrow. I'm going to do something for you. Here's another thing, though. He says, eliminate competing distractions. And the idea, he says, do not be conformed to the image of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You know what? If we listen to the world and listen to everything that cries out for us, we'll never do anything for God because every moment of our day will be just completely filled. But he says, you know, we got to say, we're going to put that distraction away so I can do something with eternal value for God. Okay? He says this, how about evaluate your strengths? Everybody look up. We've said this a million times. It's so important for us as Christians to live life thoughtfully. You know what I mean by that? Everybody look up. You know what I mean by that? Don't live life in reaction to everything that happens, but to live life thoughtfully. And that's such an important thing. Evaluate your strength. Think about what you're good at. Everybody take a second right now. What are you good at? By the way, today we experienced some of you people are really good at food. And that's why you're Baptist. Right? Some of you guys, and I'm going to up that a little bit. Some of you guys are really good at serving others. I came in this morning, me and Anthony were laughing. The kitchen people, they're so loud. They're laughing back there. I'm not sure what was going on, but having like just a comedy event back there. They're cooking. They're having such a great time because they were exercising the gift that God gave them. So we want to evaluate our strengths, right? As we think about that, not only do we want to do that, we want to cooperate with other believers. What do you mean by that, Pastor Gary? What are you talking about? You know what? A lot of times, you're not going to know so much what you're good at, or you're going to say, well, you know, I don't want to be proud. And God doesn't want you to be proud. He wants you to be realistic. In fact, in his word, in that passage in Romans chapter 12, he actually says, have a realistic view of who you are. Have a humble but realistic view. And cooperate with others is, you know what? Other people are going to see what you're good at. And they're going to say, hey, you're good at that. You ought to keep doing it. So we got to cooperate and work alongside them. Number five, we got to activate our gifts. Everybody look up. Did you ever get a gift and not open it up? Seriously, think about that. Did you ever get a gift and not open it up? Yes. Did you ever find a gift? I'm going to pick up my wife. Yesterday, you know, Jane just got finished up with school. She said, I am straightening up my closet. And by the way, it was crazy. I stayed outside. But you can ask Jane today. Jane found stuff that had been lost for years. We got it. You know, so if you lost anything, see Jane afterwards. Maybe we had it in your closet, right? But the idea here is we got to activate what we got. So we got to figure out what the gift is, open it up, take it out, and turn it on. Right? Otherwise, it's no good. And that's kind of where we are. We're going to think about that today. And here's the question. How has God shaped you? And he says this. He says, your hands have made me and fashioned me an intricate unity. And kind of it's like a negative thought. And he said, and just Job questioning, like, God, why would you destroy me? You know, Job was going through a time of suffering. But he realized that God made him. And he questioned, well, what in the world was God doing? And God shaped you for a purpose. If God is, we learned this last week, right? What's that word about God where it says he's all-knowing? What's that word? God is omniscient. He's all-knowing. He knows everything, every possibility. And he's omnipotent. He's all-powerful. And he's omnipresent. He's everywhere. So God said, you know what? I'm going to shape you for this very specific purpose that you're going to need to fulfill in your life. You were shaped for a purpose. But everybody look up. You are unique. And some of you guys say, man, you ain't kidding. Right? You are unique. Like, by the way, like we couldn't do without you because you are a unique gift from God and uniquely equipped to do certain things. I am wonderfully complex. It's really true, right? Think about what God did when he put us together. It's amazing, really, right? Think of Psalm 139, some other great references. So here's the thought. Here's my unique shape. Everybody get this down. Remember the word? What's the word? Say it with me. Shape. Shape is the word, right? So the S stands for, what are my spiritual gifts? The H stands for, what is my heart? In other words, what's my passion? The A stands for, what are my abilities, either born into you or learned? P stands for your personality. By the way, some of you guys are quiet as a mouse. Some of you guys, we couldn't quiet you down if we tried. Hence the kitchen people. No, I'm kidding. You know, right? Personality, right? We're all across the spectrum, right? How about this? Hasn't God given you guys some experiences? By the way, some good, some educational, some really challenging things. We'll come to that in a minute. That's your shape. You are a complex arrangement of spiritual gifts, passions, abilities, personality, and experiences. And God has uniquely equipped you to fulfill his ministry that way. That's your shape. By the way, you're going to see that again, so don't worry. We're going to keep striding on here today. So when we think about life experiences, right? Think about some life experiences. I just mentioned a couple of these, but check it out. What are some of your spiritual experiences? Man, God saved me. God delivered me. You know, those are some spiritual things to think about, right? What are some of your painful experiences? By the way, everybody look up for a sec. This is why I want to share my heart a little bit. Sometimes we kind of, by the way, the last time we did class 301 was approximately 12 to 13 years ago. When I think back 12 or 13 years ago, dang, I was young. I was a lot younger. My kids were still kids, right? Some of the bad things and challenging things of life, I had not experienced them at all. But 12 years later, things have changed. And why thinking about class 301 or these things, you know, God has equipped me in some new ways to minister to people that I never dreamt of before. God has changed some of my passions as I grow older and hopefully more mature. God has given me some new abilities or sharpened them up in a way that maybe they weren't so sharp before. And he's helped me to understand my gifting a whole lot better. So it's why it's so important to kind of just plug in and think this through today. How about some educational experiences? Some of you guys, man, you got master's degrees, some doctorate degrees. You got some new things. You got bachelor's degrees. You graduated high school. You did all these different things. You had training in various fields or industries that could help the body of Christ, right? So all those things have happened. What about ministry experiences? By the way, I'll step back. Can y'all imagine? Everybody look up for a sec. You know, we survived COVID, y'all. Think about that experience. It has never been had on the face of this earth, and we lived through it. We know what it was like to be quarantined and not come out of our house. You know, you can only go two places, Home Depot and the grocery store, right? We lived through that. We lived through the disease, even some of us, you know, experiencing it, right? So things have really changed, and God's doing some things in our midst in a huge way, and we ministered through those times. So I want to just keep on going, and you guys can just read this in your notes, the Apostle Paul's ministry. Jonathan, what page is that on? 11. Page 11. You can check that out, how Paul experienced this. But let's talk about identifying our shape. Here's what we got to do. We're going to do that, right? Remember we talked about the gift? Well, we got to unwrap our spiritual gift, figure out what is it, and others will help us in doing that. The next thing we got to do is check out our heartbeat. What do we mean by that? What are you passionate about? Right? Football. Or you're passionate about, you know, working with your hands. You're passionate about fixing things. You're passionate about people. You're passionate about food. You're passionate about travel, whatever it might be. What really kind of get your heart beating. Applying our abilities. I'll throw this out. Think about this here. People in this congregation, right? There's people that are really good at financial things. Couldn't that help the body? Yes. Shoo, man. By the way, just go to the grocery store tomorrow. I got to figure out how to get my budget on track. You know, how would I do with that? How about medically, health-wise, health issues? Man, some people here, we got lots of nurses and other people that can help in that way, too. All those things, right, are huge. See, I must go slide over right here and not move quite so much. But we got to monitor our heartbeat. We got to apply our abilities, and then we need to plug in our personality. Hey, I'm really outgoing and extrovert. I'm really introverted. How do I fit into what God is calling me to do? And I want to throw out today, wouldn't it be good if we could step back just for a minute and go back 12 years and examine the experiences that we've had? And I want to throw it out this way. Think about it this way. Write this down. What have I learned from God? Have you learned that God is faithful? Have you learned that God is someone you can rely on? Have you learned that prayer really works? Have you learned that God loves you no matter what mistakes you've made? Like, those are the kind of things. By the way, wouldn't those be good things to share with someone? There's people out there, maybe they've fallen into sin, and they're thinking that the whole congregation and God has forever written them off. Wouldn't it be great to know that God is faithful and he never leaves us or forsakes us? Wouldn't it be great to know that in the midst of some discouraging time, God is there? Right? Those are the kind of things we're talking about. As I examine my experiences, what has God taught me? Isn't it great to know that when you hurt, the people of God hurt and walk with you? Isn't it great to know that there's people right here who will stay up all night, who will get up early, who will make you food, who will drive you somewhere, who will care for your needs? Isn't it great to share what God has taught us? And that's kind of the point as we begin to understand my shape, right? So we're going to dive right on into our spiritual gifts, and we're going to groove very quickly this morning. But what are our spiritual gifts? And here they are. We talk thing about spiritual gift. Here's 10 quick truths. Only believers in Jesus have spiritual gifts. When you are saved, God gives you a spiritual gift or more than one. He absolutely does. Here's the next thing. Every Christian has at least one. You know why that's important? Nobody can say, I can't do anything. We can all do something, and God has given us a gift to do that, right? The next thing is this. No one receives all the gifts. Some people say, well, you know, the pastoral staff, you know, Pastor Gary, Pastor Ansu, Cindy, you know, Miss Carol, the whole team at the church, they got everything they need. They don't really need us. Dream on. Right? We need you. We need you so much, right? No one got all the gifts. Keep on going, right? No single gift is given to everyone. Like, no one has, or everyone doesn't have all this, just one gift, right? You can't earn or work for a spiritual gift. You know, if I try hard enough, I know God's going to give me that. Doesn't work like that, right? And then the next thing is, the Holy Spirit decides what ones you get. So you can't, it's not like a request. God, I really want that spiritual gift. Can you send that down? Doesn't work the way. Holy Spirit gave it to you already. And he already knew based on what God knows about the future, what you needed. And then how about this? The gifts I've given are permanent. They don't go away. They don't get retired. They don't wear out. They're permanent things. Your gifts are permanent. And then we have a responsibility, which is develop the gift. You know, if God's given you the ability to speak, develop it. If God's giving you discernment, develop it. You know, if God's giving you that gift of encouragement, develop it. So you can use it even more pervasively in your life, right?
It's a sin to waste those gifts God gave you. Just wasting a precious gift of God, right? And using my gift honors God and expands me. Think about that. I begin to use that gift, and God is just expanding me, my influence, even my humility as I see God working through me. And that's what we're talking about. Those are 10 truths to kind of grab a hold of this morning. So we're going to keep on going, right? Purpose of spiritual gifts. Everybody get this in mind. Everybody, this is an everybody look up time, right? Spiritual gifts are not for you to do cool things so everybody goes, man, look what he's doing. Spiritual gifts are not for your benefit, but they're for the benefit of everyone else. Isn't that kind of cool? So the people here, they've been gifted for you. For you. And we continue. I'm trying my mic against there. They're there to produce maturity and harmony in the church family. That's kind of cool, right? So if we all function, use our gifts with each other, we're going to grow closer and we're going to grow more mature. We're going to have a mature view of life and spiritual life. So important, right? And the Apostle Paul said this, he says, now about spiritual gifts, I don't want you to be ignorant. And he doesn't mean rude, he means that. I don't want you not to know. I want you to understand it. How does that really work? 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1 says that. By the way, write this down real quick, quick side. When you want to know about spiritual gifts, here's where they are in the scriptures, right? Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, Ephesians 4, 1 Peter 4. Can I get that idea, right? 12, 12, 4, 4. I'll say it again. Romans, what? 12. 1 Corinthians 12. Ephesians 4. 1 Peter 4. Spiritual gifts in a nutshell, right? And obviously we can't look at all those passages today. So here's a funny thing. Everybody think about this in church. Recognize that we have really two ministries. One is a primary one, and one might be a secondary one. Say, how's that work? What are you talking about? Here's what we're talking about. My primary ministry commitment should be in the area where I am gifted. Stop with me just for a quick second. Think about why that is. You hate to spend all your time doing something that you're not gifted in. Why? Because one, you wouldn't be that fulfilled, and two, you wouldn't be that fruitful. In other words, you would probably hate what you do. But we ever hear people in church say, I've heard these conversations. Someone says they're a nursery worker, and they're like, oh, man, I got nursery this week. Is that the person I want manning the nursery? By the way, you've seen that person at Walmart. They're like, dang, I got to work today. Do you want them to be your cashier or your customer service agent? No, right? So our primary ministry ought to be what we're good at, what we're fulfilled at, what we are fruitful at. And that's where we serve the most of our time at. However, there are some secondary things, right, that we just got to do. By the way, sometimes around church, we just got to clean up the trash. Is anybody gifted at that? Yes, absolutely not, right? No one is. That's just the thing we got to do. But there's some things we got to do just because it needs to get done. Include serving in any other area of the body when I am needed, it should say. Right? Cautions about spiritual gifts, right? Don't confuse your spiritual gifts with your natural abilities. I.e., I think my spiritual gift is singing. Singing is not on the spiritual gift list in those chapters. It's a natural ability that God blesses us with and uses in the body. Don't confuse it with that. Don't confuse spiritual gifts with the fruit of the Spirit. What's the fruit of the Spirit, everybody? Love, joy, peace, kindness, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, and what? Self-control. Those things evidence your maturity, not your ministry. So you want to don't confuse.
Fruit shows my maturity.
Gifts show my ministry. And I want to say one thing. Don't feel that this is a lot of stuff, right? We're going to keep talking about this, and we're going to keep practicing and plugging people into where God has gifted and called them so we'll get a better grasp. Don't confuse your gifts with Christian roles, i.e. like pastor, teacher, whatever. Be aware of the gift projection tendency. You know what that means? Because I'm good at something, I ask you to do the same thing, and I expect the same results. Or like I'll say, you know, it's easy, come on. By the way, whenever someone starts out, don't worry, it's easy. Is it usually easy? No, right? It's always a challenge, right? And I'm expecting others to serve with similar results, as I mentioned, right? So be cautious about that. So spiritual gifts, by the way, they're all listed there in your pamphlet that you guys have. Don't feel my gift makes me superior to others. That's why Paul wrote 1 Corinthians 12, 13, 14, because someone said, man, I can speak in tongues. They're like, just trying to impress everybody, show everybody. There was a gentleman in Acts, he said, give me that spiritual gift. He was willing to buy it. Spiritual gifts, right, don't make you superior. They just make you an instrument that God uses. Only God is superior to all of us. Realize that using my gifts without love is worthless. By the way, what chapter is that? 1 Corinthians 13, right? If I serve God and I'm not loving, remember the phrase that Paul wrote? He said it's like a clanging gong or a tinkling cymbal. And those noises are not particularly attractive to us, right? So we got to have love when we're going to use our gifts. So this doesn't really work out so well. And that's 1 Corinthians 13. So how to discover this gift, right? Here we go, real fast, right? Here it is. How do I discover this gift? Get started. What do I got to do? Study. There's a book list, my ideas. 19 Gifts of the Spirit by Leslie Flynn. It's a good book to look at. Your spiritual gifts can help your church grow. There's another possibility. See Peter Wagner. You can kind of read up. What are spiritual gifts? Read, by the way, those passages. What are they? 1 Corinthians 12, Romans 12, Ephesians 4, 1 Peter 4. Read about those. The gifts are listed out there, right? How else can I discover my spiritual gift? Here's the best way. Experiment with different areas of service. In the context of the body of Christ, try something. We're going to do VBS, and we need teachers, assistants, people in the kitchen, game leaders, blah, blah, all those things, right? Try it out. If it's a huge problem, guess what? You'll know. If you're hugely successful, your people are going to be saying, man, that was awesome. The kids will be encouraged. The adults will be enthused. Experiment with different areas of service. Analyze. Use the unwrapping tool, which we're going to give out in the weeks to come. We'll talk about that. Request input from others. You can say, hey, you know, I taught today. Did you get it? Was it helpful? Did it make sense? You know, they give you that funny deer in the headlights look. There's an idea, right? Maybe not so good. Maybe it was good. Ask others what gifts they see in me. Take advantage of training. We will begin very shortly, now that we're all back from COVID and all those things, something called SALT, Strategic Advanced Leadership Training. Once a quarter, we're going to all get together, if you're involved in a ministry, and we're going to talk about some things that will help you going forward in ministry. And then try things out through an ongoing ministry, a short-term project, or spontaneous situations. Things will come up. See where you are, right? So spiritual gifts, we got to unwrap those things. Now we're going to move real quick. How about this? So the S part is the spiritual gift part. Now we're going to talk about our heart. In other words, what are you good at? Right? The Bible says that the heart is these things, right? We can see that the Bible defines the heart as an organ that pumps your blood, your emotional constitution or disposition, or the vital force or driving impulse. Here's what we're talking about today. Where is your heart? What do you love to do? If someone says, what are you about? What do you love to do? What's your thing? You know, as they say, right? That's your heart. kind of helps you kind of figure out where you're going to be a good fit. By the way, if you work in youth ministry, it's kind of good to have a lot of passion, right? Love kids, love activities, love doing those things as an example, right? Your heartbeat, what is it? We're going to continue, right? My heart determines what I say or why I say the things I do, why I feel the way I do, and why I act the way I do. And by the way, your heart can be shaped by, it should be shaped by the Spirit of God, too, as you grow. But we need our heart, right? My heart determines those things. It's so important, right? And my heart is the real me. I can kind of sugarcoat it. I can try to fake it. But what is the real you? What are you into? What drives you? What makes your day? You know, what are the things that you want to get involved in, right? That's your heart. Monitoring your heartbeat. Why has God given even each person a unique heartbeat? Here's why. So you can do God's will and serve God's purpose by letting your heartbeat motivate you for ministry. Does that make sense? By the way, you ever see people not motivated? What's that look like? By the way, think about it. Everybody look up. Okay? Think about this today. After the pandemic, right? Are we seeing that everywhere? Nobody wants to go to work. Nobody wants to help you when they're at work. You can't get anything. It takes 4 weeks to get something that just takes like 4 minutes. Like, think about what's going on in our world. It's really, really challenging, isn't it? By the way, think about church. It's the same kind of way. Well, I used to do that, but... Like, when we have a heart to serve God that's passionate, that's burning, that's fervent, it just changes the game. And God is calling us to have that kind of ministry, to have a heart that really motivates us, right? Taking a spiritual EKG, ask yourself the question, I love to blank. You can fill in the blank. How about the next thing, abilities, right? Real fast, abilities. Think about your abilities. There are different abilities to perform service. By the way, there's another passage, Exodus 34. When they worked in the temple, right, God gave you all these craftsmen abilities with gold and silver and jewelry and all those things to make a place for God. All those abilities were needed. So we all have different abilities. God gave them all. Says, I, God, have given him skill, ability, and knowledge in all kinds of crafts. I said Exodus 34 to 31. So God uses all of our abilities and all of our tasks. Here's five misconceptions about abilities real fast. Myth number one, people aren't born with skills. All skills must be learned by experience. Is that true? No. But you ever seen people that they say, he's good with his hands. He's the guy that can fix your toaster if it's broken, and he can fix your car if it won't start. It's like this natural gift. We have people that get on church like that. They look at it, and like suddenly it works. Like, whoa, what did he do? And we all want to know what, by the way, as guys, we all want to know what it is because it's like so cool. But it's not given out that way. So abilities, right? That's a myth. Another myth about that is... those skills which must be learned are learned primarily in the classroom. No, they're learned in the course of our lives, in the street, learned at home or somewhere else outside. Myth number three about our abilities, right? Check it out. If you have certain abilities, you'll be very aware that you have them. Sometimes we don't know till we try. Hence that idea of trying things out, right? Number four. Skills that I use at work are only usable in that environment. Does that make sense about church? Think that's true? So if you're at work, if you work in the financial industry, you work in the medical industry, you work in mental health, you work in social services, you work in all these different things, you're a teacher, all those gifts come to bear at church. Absolutely not true. Gotta be creative, right? And then number five is most people only have very few abilities. The truth is that studies have proven that the average person possesses over 500 different skills. Everybody look up real fast. Can you imagine? But I hear people say this in church.
I have nothing to offer. There's nothing I can do. You know, I'm just the
So abilities is so important. How do I discover abilities? There's 28 specialized abilities that are given in the text that you may have. And the thing you gotta do is do what? Try it out. See what's going on. Personality, right? We'll look at this really quickly this morning. Personality, right? How you figure out what your personality is. What happened? How did you feel? You felt uncomfortable. It took extra time and effort. You still did a lousy job. We've been there, right? So what's your personality? Are you extroverted, introverted? Do you like routine things, or you like to do something different every second? Are you self-controlled, or you are like expressive like crazy, right? Are you cooperative, or are you competitive? Who's competitive? Raise your hand. Yeah, right? Watch out. Right? Some of you guys are afraid to raise it because you know, right? Yeah, we got some competitive folks, right? It's okay. And God, by the way, has shaped you. Use that shape, right? So personality. Last thing I mentioned is experiences, and we'll just figure to sum it up on this. Examine your experiences, right? It says, by the way, everybody knows Romans 8:28. What's it say? Say it out loud. And we know what? All things work together for good to those who love God and those who are called according to his purpose. And Paul wrote these words. He said, I want you to know, brothers, that these things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. Right? God uses every experience. Everybody look up. God doesn't waste any bad experiences. If you went through a bad time in something, that is not wasted. Remember 2 Corinthians chapter 1 says that God wants to use you to comfort others with the comfort that he's comforted you with. And I want to throw this out, but this is so important again about we think about this concept of gifts right now and this concept of our shape. Man, we've been through so much. God has equipped us to offer so much more individually. And I encourage you to think about that today, right? We develop through experiences, we talk about spiritual experiences, painful experiences, educational experiences, and work experiences. All different kinds of things God wants to bring to bear right here in church, and even ministry experiences that we've gone through, right? So discover my ministry. Serve here. Try to use your gifts right here in something that's going on. And I am going to stop. And I want to stop with this thought. That's kind of quick, right? Kind of a lot to digest. Kind of drinking out of the fire hose, as they say sometimes, right? But I want to challenge us. The key thing is, right, what is our shape? What's the S sample? What are our spiritual gifts? The H is, where is our heart? Where is our passion? The A is, what are my abilities? The P is, what is my personality? And the E are, what are my experiences? And I want to challenge us today, the way we figure out our shape is do what? Get involved and try it out. You know, we're going to have more breakfasts. We're going to have more ministries. Try it out. By the way, we talked about the pastor and I talked about some things that, you know, strategy-wise in church. You know, we're going to try some things, and honestly, you know what? They are going to fail with a capital F. Does that mean we're failures? No, it just means we tried the wrong thing, and we're going to be creative. We're going to try something else. And I want to challenge us as the body of Christ. That's what God wants us all to do, is get on the team, get in the game, and let's activate the gifts and the shape that God has given us, and we will figure out exactly how God has shaped us for ministry. Amen? Anybody game? Anybody game to get involved, try things out, right? We got the summertime, by the way, is a great time to try things out. Lots of different things going on. So I want to really encourage you today to think about when you see the Bible school flyer, go, you know what, I could probably do that. I could do security at PBS. I could cook. I could do snack. I could do games. I like that stuff. Try it out. It's a great time. In the fall, we're hoping to bring back Sunday school for all of the grades. We need teachers that can impart the word. wear Pastor Ansu and Jonathan and Gloria out, and Verna too. They could use some hands to hold up their hands. Man, we're looking forward to what God's going to do in our youth ministry, right? Our ladies ministry. There's all these phone conferences going on right now. What are we going to do? Man, we could use some ladies stepping it up. Our hospitality ministry. You know, as we serve food, as we do events, man, we need people to step it up and be a part of the good time that goes on there. We actually have a team, by the way, called the funeral team. We need people to come alongside families when they have a loss, and we enable them to come back and have a meal together and just encourage one another. We need people for that. Our praise team. There's a lot of people on it right now, but we could use a lot more that love God and are gifted in that way. Right, we could just go on and on and on. Just think about how God could make us a better team if you are there. And that's where we want to leave it this morning. So I'm going to ask Pastor Ansu to come. He is going to pray for us. And we hope you guys have a wonderful day, a wonderful week. Think about these things that we introduced only to you today. And let's see how God's going to work in the days ahead.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the teaching. And Lord, as we go this week, oh God, help us, oh God, that we will commit to ministry, oh God, and that we will, Lord, kind of help evaluate our own ship. And as we seek you, oh God, going forward, that we will realize that you have called us to serve you and to promote your kingdom here on earth. And give us the strength, the courage to be, oh God, moved by your spirit. And Lord, to put our heart and strength in the calling that you have called us to serve you. And we cannot do any of these things without you, Holy Spirit, to carry us through. And that our church will be a vibrant church in every era of ministry, Lord. And that you will be glorified. We thank you. Carry us through this week until we can come back again and be a praise unto you. And be glorified. With these we pray in your Son's precious name. Amen. 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 Amen.